Hey, everybody. Welcome to Unscripted Unlimited on the Everything Unscripted Network. This is our second show. We got a lot to get into tonight. Recapping Big Brother 23 that's going on right now. Recapping the last UFC 264 from last week. And we got a whole lot more. I'm your host, Daniel Hummer. I'm here with Eric.
What's up?
And I'm here with my brother, Doug.
Yo.
How's it going tonight, fellas?
Pretty good.
Pretty good.
We got a lot to get into and only an hour and a half to get into it.
Yeah. I think we'll get into it. We don't have that much to get into. It's like two things.
Oh, yeah.
All right, guys. Big Brother. It's heating up. Oh, you want to get into the plugs first?
All right, real quick, listen to Boxman and Smart, the Dirt Sheet Dudes, every Wednesday and Friday night, mixer.com/DirtSheetDudes. They can be found on all major podcast platforms. Listen to us on the Unscripted Wrestling Podcast every Friday night, 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Oh, by the way, Boxman and Smart, Dirt Sheet Dudes, around 10:15, 10:20 Eastern Time, right after wrestling's over on Wednesday and Fridays. I forgot that part. 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time every Friday night for the Unscripted Wrestling Podcast with, of course, myself and Eric and Daniel and if they can make their bookings, Glynis and Stevie, and whenever I have a subject that I think he's useful in, Kenny usually joins us. Last night we counted down the top 10 greatest superstars to never be WWF/WWE champion. That was a fun show. This upcoming Friday night, we're going to be talking the July 8th, 1996 episode of WCW Monday Nitro, the night after the Hogan turn when Hogan joined the NWO. It was picked by Eric. So we're going to get into that this Friday. Also, countdowns are going to be a quarterly thing on the Unscripted Wrestling Podcast. So basically, WWE does the NXT TakeOver specials, and WCW used to do the Clash of Champions specials. They used to do them quarterly, so we're going to do the countdowns quarterly as well. The next countdown will be in October, and we're going to count down the top 10 greatest wrestlers of all time. It's a loaded list, already got a lot of responses. If you've got a problem with it, it was Eric's idea. Join us on Saturdays. Times usually vary, probably between like 6 and 8 p.m. Eastern time. Of course, blogtalkradio.com/everythingunscripted for the Unscripted Unlimited podcast. Like Daniel said, this is our new second show, so there's not really we're not going to be really doing any other shows besides our main show, this show, and then, of course, Sundays at 3 p.m., join Daniel and Mindy for Scaredy Cats. Tomorrow they're going to be doing the movie Stay Alive.
Yes, sir. It's going to be a fun time.
Thank God those kinds of video games do not exist in the real world or I would have died a long time ago. And then, of course, also September 18th or Saturday, September 18th in Merchantville, New Jersey, we will be out there for the Merchantville Toy Fair. We're going to be selling some toys and some comic books. Come on out, see us, have a good time, buy some toys, buy some comics. We might even do a show out there if we're allowed. And of course you can also find us on facebook.com/group/oldschoolwrestling. That's where we're going to post a lot of this stuff. And we've also been borrowing other groups to, you know, get feedback for things as well. Find us on Instagram.
Yep.
We're still on there, right?
Yeah.
Okay. At Unscripted, Everything Unscripted or something?
Yep.
Okay. That pretty much does it.
All right.
I think.
Let's get into it, boys. Big Brother 23.
You might not want to.
A lot of shit's going on so far.
That didn't help, did it?
No.
Okay. You want me to just move my fingers?
What, they got the spoilers on Wiki already?
For the wild card, yeah.
Fucking lame. All right, guys. So far, who is your pick to win this damn thing, Eric?
Claire.
to win the whole thing?
Yeah.
All right.
I think she's a dangerous player in this game. I think they're underestimating her.
I think they're underestimating a lot of people in this game.
Yeah. There's a lot of smart people this year. And she knows the game very well. She's a super fan.
Eric, they're all super fans. That's why they applied for this thing.
Well, not everybody.
The only person that doesn't have a shot at winning this game right now is Frenchie. I mean, everybody has a shot.
Well, let's talk about Frenchie then. Eric, how do you think Frenchie's been playing the game so far? The nice farmer.
She's been playing wild. I mean, it was the first week. First week, Acre Winch is always wild. I mean, his initial target was Brett, right? And then that went, he got safety. And then it was Christian.
No, Christian
got
the
safety.
He just likes Brett. Brett and him had a heart-to-heart, which made Frenchie change his mind.
Yeah. And then it was Christian. And then Christian became the top guy. And then he got safety. And then it was Derek X for a little bit. And then he got POV. And so Travis was the scapegoat. I don't think he's playing a horrible game, but he just needs to chill. He needs to stay in the background and chill. And maybe he can make fun.
Week one, he promised everybody safety. Well, just about everybody, right? It's like a boss that promises everybody that works for that particular boss the same day off. So, he promised, there's 15 other house guests. He promises, 14 of them safety. And then the two guys he wants to put up, the one guy, they have a heart-to-heart, so he's like, I can't put this guy up. And then the other guy is too good of a competitor and one safety, so he couldn't get put up. So he had to go back on his word to some people. And it's just...
And he's got to stop with all the freaking alliances. He's, way
yeah.
too many. He's, Aubrey in the whatever season that was.
Aubrey, yeah.
Father yeah. House.
Yeah, and that's he made the mistake there. Like, he's trying to get everybody aligned with him so they're not so nobody wants to vote him out. I don't think it's gonna work. He's not playing the game very well right now. And it's gonna come back and bite him in the ass. So he has to either win the wild card competition this week if he is designated to play in the wild card. He's either going to win that or he's going to win POV, or else there is a good chance he's going home.
Yeah. What do you think, Daniel?
Oh, fuck off. Keep talking with you guys.
Yeah. Daniel's a little busy right now, so.
Okay. Who do you think Kylan's going to put up? Any suspicion? I have no clue.
I think Frenchie's going to be one of them.
I'm going to say Brent and
Brent and Frenchie's
Derek
easy
Gets.
To go after.
No, Derek Gets on his team. Then.
Yeah, Kylan likes Derek. How I feel about Frenchie, I think Frenchie's completely overplaying the game. He's had a few problems. He hasn't really stuck to his guns. He hasn't been the loyal guy that he said he's been. He's played this completely terrible so far. He made promises to everybody. He hasn't stuck to anything. When he put Alyssa and Christian up, as All he could have did, he could have had that same conversation with them before he put them up. And then they're still going to have that in the back of their heads now that he took a shot after him, even though he says he's cool with them now. So it's just way too, he's pissing everybody off.
He's just overplaying.
He's overplaying way too much. I feel like people get in there and they get a little bored because they don't have tablets and all that shit. And they just play the shit out of the game week one, and then those guys end up going home. When overplaying, I've only seen it work once, and that's with Vanessa Russo. Because I do honestly think she overplayed the game a little too much in 17. But it did work.
Yeah, because she had enough people around her that still actually believed everything she was saying.
But everybody else, it never works. Like the guy with Dan, Mike from season 10, you remember him, Eric?
Yeah.
Tried to control Jerry's HOH. Yeah, he thought he was the shit. He got evicted week one. Audrey didn't last very long.
The only reason why Cody was out week three.
I feel like that wasn't Cody's fault, though.
Yeah.
That was because a lot of this to Frenchie has been the twist, too, because it's hard with all the twists. But I don't think Cody really overplayed. I think the twist just fucked him over. I think Frenchie's actually overplaying too much.
He's playing too hard too fast.
Yeah.
So, and, like, they've already done the wild card. I'm not going to spoil it because we're not going to do that here. So I don't know. And also, how long are the teams supposed to last?
I don't know. Probably like four
probably
or five
a month.
Weeks with the usual gimmick.
All right. So they'll be done by the time jury starts then, right?
Usually, yeah.
I'm probably around that time.
So, but I do think that you want to start plucking away at some of the stronger teams. And I think the strongest team right now is Christian's team.
Yeah, I mean, they are really strong.
They're strong and they're loyal to each other. Because look at Frenchie's team. Azza and Big Fella are loyal to the cookout.
Yes.
Brittany is loyal to her bedroom because that's where she's staying, so she doesn't get involved in any of this shit.
Can't blame her.
No, I don't blame her. Frenchie's loyal to everybody in the house, even though he stabbed all of them in the back already. And then you have the Aces team. Whitney really hasn't done anything. I mean, she's laying low, and I do not think you should underestimate her.
No.
No.
Brent is loyal to Frenchie. Derek X, we don't really know where his loyalties lie, but he's a great competitor.
He's friends with Kylan, and he was friends with Travis, too.
Hannah, I think, is probably the smartest person, or one of the smartest people in the house.
Yeah, she's staying under radar, too.
Yeah, but I don't know, like, how they would act as a team. And the Queens team, I mean, they're already down one. And Kylan and Tiffany, go ahead, Eric.
Oh, no, go ahead, sorry.
I was just going to say, like, Kylan and Tiffany are more loyal to the cookout as well. So you have the Kings team, which is Christian's team. They are, even though Xavier is also part of the cookout, he's loyal to his team. And that team is going to go very far. I bet you that they are the only team that has all the members make it the jury.
I mean, yeah. But at the end of the day, usually when they do twists like this, alliances are still around that they care more about. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if the cookout takes precedence over some of the teams.
Well, they're going to take over. They are taking precedence over Frenchie's team and over Claire's team.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to take precedence over Christian's team. I think Xavier is going to remain loyal to that team until the end of the team choice.
He has to decide.
We shall see.
What's he going to do when he has to decide?
To decide what? Like, who to stay loyal to?
One member of Cookout. Let's say one member of Cookout is on the block and another member, and a member of Cookout is on the block. What side would he pick?
So a member of Cookout and a member of Cookout?
Let's say Cookout and Christian's on the block. So you think Xavier is going to save Christian?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. Sorry.
Yeah. I think he is going to I think that he would save Christian. Well, first of all, Xavier's a lawyer. You can't trust them fuckers.
I think Derek X is going to be a force to be reckoned with.
I think he is the best competitor or competition player.
Yeah, he could be a competition beast, especially because he's little too, so he might do good in those endurance comps as well.
Yeah.
And the mental comps, he's been fucking killing it at.
Yeah, because he's a strategist.
Yeah. Smart guy.
Yeah, he's smart.
I mean, he's a favorite right now. I wouldn't say he's a heavy favorite because we're only, 10, 11 days in.
Yeah, well, it's very too soon to judge. But it's exciting and it's cooking up and Frenchie's a target. That's one thing we know.
Yeah. I'm excited. I can't wait for tomorrow night show, especially, with the wild card comp and then nominations. But then, of course, we have to wait, 3 days before the next episode. I used to hate Big Brother, but I've been kind of getting sucked in. So
it's fantastic. Great show. Great show. I love it. Super fan.
And how about the wild card this week? They have to decide they're going to trade teams. Remember, Julie said that.
Wait, she did say that, or are you on Wikipedia?
No, she said that on air.
Oh, did she?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So, well, no, they have the option to trade teams. That doesn't mean they're gonna.
True.
Yeah, that's gonna be interesting.
To
see what somebody does.
It's going to be interesting, yes.
I can't wait. We have a lot more Big Brother content coming for you guys. We're going to keep recapping it, and especially next week after we see that HOH veto and eviction again this week. So we got a lot to get into.
Yeah.
In the meantime, though, you want to get into the toy spotlight, Doug?
Okay, so we're going to be talking about the Spawn figures. Spawn, of course, was a comic book made by Todd McFarlane, right? And then, of course, there was a Spawn cartoon series and the Spawn movie. Spawn is one of the toy lines that we're going to be taking with us as long as we can get more of them to the toy fair. And I forgot to bring them downstairs, but I have like three of them.
And I heard like lately Spawn toys have been selling harder than a lot of shit. So
yeah, it's actually funny. Eric and I are finally going to go toy hunting together. After so long
two
of waiting.
2 weeks.
Yeah, 3 weeks, right? Three or
yep.
Four?
Three. This next week is your shot.
Yeah.
It's four. I don't know.
No, I think it is three because next week's the shot, and then we still have 2 weeks before we can hang out after I get the shot.
Yep.
So, but yeah, when you and I go toy hunting, there is a store that I believe they actually do have a lot of Spawn stuff. So we're gonna be checking that out.
Gonna give it the old check, Jeff.
Yeah. So Eric, save your money.
Yep. I've been saving some money from my paycheck. So.
Cool. Sell some of your coworkers if you have to. I'd love to sell my custodian.
Wait a minute.
I'm not going to do that.
You need your custodian on Monday because you set the shop on fire.
Don't put that in the air, okay? I didn't set nothing on fire. They listened to this. But it was not me.
Yeah.
It was a fire. It was not me. We can't talk about it. Spawn is a great character.
Yeah.
His toys are fucking dope to watch or to look at. Todd McFarlane actually has his own toy company, McFarlane Toys. They're quite big.
Yeah. They have they produce the Justice League toys, right?
Yeah, they do a lot of shit, but yeah, they do the Justice League toys.
Yeah, the receptionist at our work was actually on the McFarlane website the other day because she was doing research for some reason. And then, of course, the owner of the company came walking in, so she got off the computer right away.
By the way, we work at Whole Foods. But, yeah, I mean, the Spawn character...
I was going to say we work at Walmart.
No, I don't. Dude, a few more little bars, we're going to have to cut this thing.
Yeah.
So, you want to go to 264 now?
You want to do 264 or do you want to do your comic?
We can talk about the comic real quick. This week I read Jeepers Creepers. Because we did the movie last week. There was a 5-issue series written by one of my favorite comic writers, Mark Andrako, who has done a lot of Wonder Woman stuff, the Batman stuff. He's a writer for DC, but this is actually from Dynamite Studios. And it was a badass series. It was a standalone thing, just 5 issues. It was had a very... very final at the end. I don't think there's going to be another thing. It was in 2018, so I think it's about done now. And it was basically a standalone story of the Creeper. And if you like Jeepers Creepers in the lore and you like horror or like even just like creepy stuff, you should check this book out because and a lot of the art is badass. I was showing Doug some of the art and the pictures from it. And just the way they got the aesthetic down, it looks like the movies look.
Right.
Yeah, it was cool as fuck. I enjoy it a lot. It was about this kid, Devin, who's basically writing this thesis paper on the Creeper and old artifacts and shit. So he drives to Mexico to figure more shit about it. Turns out he ends up letting the Creeper into his psyche, and it's a part of, like, his conscious and his brain. And that's the whole big twist, is that the Creeper can get to you and kill you by you just thinking about him, and then he's a part of you. So, and that's the twist at the end. And the last shot is the kid, our hero, with his eyes gouged out, laying on a table dead. And the Creeper's like, we are all the Creeper.
So he's not much of a hero then, is he?
He was our protagonist, but he's not anymore.
That's the only thing I don't like about horror movies, that even a protagonist has to die.
Well, they live a lot of the time, but this one didn't. He got fucked up. But it was a good book. I'd recommend it for anybody to check it out.
Yeah.
The art's great. The writing's A1. And it's not too hard of a read either. It's not like one of those with too many words in it. There's a lot of action in the book. So definitely check it out if you're a comic fan. All right, boys. Let's end this out with 264. This was a hell of a pay-per-view. Eric, are you watching tonight? Are you watching Fight Night?
Yeah, I'm gonna watch it because I have some bets on it, so I'm definitely gonna watch it.
Even
if I didn't, I would still.
I mean, I'm excited for tonight because we have not only
Return of Misha Tate.
Did he just say he has a crush on Misha Tate?
No, I said the Return of Misha Tate.
Oh, I love Misha Tate. I have the biggest crush on her.
She's hot. She's no Paige Van Zandt.
She is hot.
Yeah. She is great. I'm excited to see her. It's been 4 years. She's lived in Singapore
for the
last 2 years. She's had a baby. She's back, and she's ready to kick some ass. And we'll see what she can do.
Yep.
I'm excited for that fight. I'm excited for the main event to see Khabib's boy. Khabib has been hyping this guy up. Another Russian grappler, badass guy. So, and Jeremy Stephens,
I like this kid.
Yeah, he's a mauler. Yep. He's a big wrestler. So it'll be an exciting main event. Probably a lot of grappling, but it'll be fun to watch. And we also got Jeremy Stephens
exactly.
up. So.
Yeah.
We're going to check that out. We're probably going to put the prelims right after we get out of this. So, hell yeah. Now, let's get into 264, which was last week. I think as a standalone, we're only doing the main card. The prelims were okay, but I didn't watch all of them. So.
I think I saw like maybe two or three of them. I know because I was watching – I just happened to have them on – because everybody else was at the movies, and when I came home and you saw that I had the prelims on, you actually thought I ordered the fight already.
Yeah.
But that's out of my realm of capabilities.
So what do? We bought ESPN Plus.
Yeah, we bought ESPN Plus, and we got the fight.
So expect a lot more of these in the future.
Nice.
We'd like to start doing more live shows
yeah.
and stuff like that.
In my honest opinion, and I can't believe I'm saying this, I prefer UFC over today's current wrestling product.
How do you feel
about
that?
I agree with that.
Yeah, but aren't you fucking shocked?
Yeah.
When he told me that earlier in the week, I almost shit myself.
I just almost shit myself just now.
I know.
Saying it.
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Doc. Man, I'm sorry.
No, it's all right. You go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, TJ Dillashaw returns next week, too.
Yes, so that's going to be a big one. We got to watch the return of TJ Dillashaw. We got fight nights every week this month, right? Or do they always do that?
I think it might be every week this month.
Yeah.
Sometimes they take some breaks, but usually you have small ones.
Yeah. So we got a fight night every week, and then we got the Black Beast, Eric Lewis, at 265. So that's going to be badass.
Yep. August 7th.
And the return, well, not the return, but Amanda Nunes is going to be defending her belt. So we're going to buy that for sure.
The belt?
I don't think we can afford the belt. Now, this took place in Paradise, Nevada, Las Vegas T-Mobile Arena. Attendance 20,000, total gate 15 mil. And about 1.8 million buys. So this is very successful, just like any other Conor McGregor fight. The man can sell fights.
Don't you wish WWE wish they could do these numbers?
Yeah. But, it's different with this because Conor's a natural-born promoter. He can bring anyone to a building, but it's also real, too. So he's going to go out there and try to beat your ass, too.
Right.
But... Yep. He didn't get it done tonight, but we'll get into that. Let's start with the first fight on this card. Holy shit. A bantamweight fight between one of my guys, one of my, prospects, one of the guys that I think is probably going to lead the UFC in the future.
One of your prospects? What, are you training guy?
Yeah. I've worked with him a lot. No, I don't fucking know him. Sugar Sean O'Malley. Badass. One of the better bantamweights out there. 14-1, by the way. Against a tough as nails, Chris Montehino. I probably fucked the last name up, but that's okay. Little kid with green hair, 9-5. How much heart did this fucking kid show, Doug?
He showed a lot of heart because, I mean, he was getting his face bashed. He was basically, he was stopping punches with his face. And, it's not, plugged in, nobody. Yeah, I mean, he was using his face as a fucking punching bag, and but he would not go down, and he just, to me,
to me, he just showed an awful lot of heart.
You guys okay?
Don't ask. I can't talk about it on air. Just trust me. For the love of God, trust me.
Like looked into the dark abyss. Now he doesn't know what to do.
He showed a shit ton of heart. This kid is tough as nails. Now, what I will say, which is what I've been saying the whole time about the kid, is the technique was not completely there. Sean O'Malley ran this fight. Sean O'Malley predicted the pace. He threw 80% of his punches. Joe Rogan even said that's probably the most strikes hit that he's ever seen in a fight that he's called. Sean O'Malley won that fight. Obviously, he beat the hell out of him. But this kid just kept eating those knuckle sandwiches and asking for more. He
right.
kept walking up to the punch. He was super aggressive. O'Malley was kind of walking back and just hitting the punches, and then Chris is just fucking beasting up to him like a badass. This kid showed a lot of heart. He does have a long way
yep.
to go. He's got a lot of shit to work on. But for what he showed a lot. And a lot of people were talking about him after this.
Including Sean O'Malley, because he kept saying this kid's a tough motherfucker. And the kid took the fight on 11 days notice.
Which is badass.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there was no way he was going to win the fight. I mean, I don't really agree with the stoppage. There were 30 seconds left.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can ask.
Huh?
Now we can ask what you guys thought about that. I hated that. They were 30 seconds left.
I didn't hate it because I agree with protecting the athlete. I agree that this is a sport where he kept going up to it. Yes, he did not give up, so it should not have been stopped. But like even Sean said, Herb Dean might have saved the kid a couple years off his life. That kid was getting smashed. Even though he kept asking for more, his face looked like a fucking watermelon. He was brutalized. He was losing the fight. Yes, give him the decision and let it go another 30 seconds, but I'm not, like, pissed at Herb Dean for doing what he did because he was trying to protect the athlete.
Right.
Yeah. Fair enough.
I just thought it was a little suspicious
that they did that 30 seconds.
O'Malley was rocking his shit, though.
Yeah, he was. I'll give O'Malley that.
Yeah, he's a badass. Now, this was my fight of the night.
Right.
I would have to give this 9 stars out of 10.
I'd probably agree with you and say 9. I did like this fight. It's not my fight of the night, and I'll get into why my fight of the night is a fight of the night.
I'll give it an 8. It was a good fight.
Absolutely. Now, Yana Kuniskaya. Yana versus Irene Aldana. Aldana showed something this night. She rocked her. The striking, you kind of missed this one, Doug, but the striking on Aldana's part, she proved that she is a competitor still in this women's bantamweight division. What do you think of this fight, Eric? Biggie.
I thought it wasn't really competitive, but she knocked her out with 25 seconds left in the fight.
Yeah. No, 30 seconds left in the round.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, yeah. I was surprised at the knockout. I thought it was going to last longer.
But, yeah, I mean, Irene controlled the fight. She ran it. I give this one probably 6 stars.
Yeah, I can't really rank it because I didn't mind it. But I'll agree with you.
I rank it 6.
Now, the next fight, this might not go fucking 3 hours like you thought.
Yeah.
But Taya Tuivasa and Greg Hardy, is this what you were talking about?
Yeah.
Okay. Get into it, because this was funny. This was exciting.
Okay, so Greg Hardy, I did not know Greg Hardy was a UFC fighter. Greg Hardy, everybody knows who he is, I'm sure, because back in the 2014 season, I think it was, of the NFL?
2014-2015.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. 2014-2015, he was one of the many scumbag piece of shit players that got, that got in trouble, that got arrested for domestic violence. And, you know, after Ray Rice did it and, I get Greg Hardy and Ray McDonald, who played for the 49ers, and there may have been a couple other ones too. So he was one of the, and that's when like people started to really question, including Eric, started to question Roger Goodell.
I was very vocal.
Huh?
I was very vocal about it.
Yeah, you were very vocal about it. I still think you were very wrong because I don't think the blame should go on Roger Goodell. But that's another story for another time. Point is, Greg Hardy's a scumbag. And
yes, he is.
He played for a couple more years. I think he even played for Dallas at one point. And
yeah,
I did not know he was a UFC fighter. So when I saw he was on the card, I was automatically rooting for this Ty.
Yeah.
Ty Tuivasa, or whatever his name is. And then Ty Tuivasa came out to the Spice Girls.
Yeah, he won our head over for sure.
Singing Spice Girls, dancing. Drinking out of his shoes.
He was having fun.
He was having fun. And I automatically, I think you actually thought Greg Hardy was going to win.
Well, yeah, because Greg Hardy's he's actually a monster, and he does have, if you pay attention to the...
He's a monster in more ways than one.
Yeah, I mean, he's not a great person, but... In the fight,
he
was controlling the fight. He was knocking the shit out of Tuivasa. For that first minute.
Yeah.
But when you have heavyweights, it's different from any other division where they have that one punch knockout power. So no matter how you're doing in a fight, there could be a time where you get that one right hand or that one overhand.
Well, and it was a left hand, by the way, because Tuivasa is left handed.
Doesn't matter, though. Same shit. You get that one punch to the mush and you fall.
Right.
And it's over. And that's what happened to Hardy. Hardy was boxing very well.
Yeah.
But he got that one punch to the mush, and Tuivasa won the match.
But like I said, though, is that Greg Hardy really does not impress me. All right. I knew he was not going to win this fight because he was not fighting a woman. He was fighting a big guy.
Yeah. I mean,
he's
7-4, but yeah.
He probably fought all women that were dressed up like men. But I was happy to see this. The asshole got what he had coming to him. Tuivasa really, he won me over.
To be honest,
yeah,
I don't think
in power.
I think that might be it for Greg Hardy in the UFC anyway.
What, the one?
Because this is his second loss in a row. So he might get cut soon, to be completely honest with you.
He might give him one more. But
once you lose, two in a row, lose two in a row, doesn't Dana White like lose interest in you?
Well, it depends. It depends how big you are. It depends how much success you had in the past. But if you do lose a good amount and you're not like a huge name anymore, you are at risk of getting cut from the UFC.
Right.
And Greg Hardy, I mean, I don't know if he's going to be the greatest heavyweight of all time. I don't think he's ever going to be a world title contender.
Right.
So, Ty Tuivasa, no. I'd like to see what he does in the future. He's a badass young man. What are you doing?
I'd like to see him beat Derek Lewis.
I would love to see him fight Derek Lewis.
That would be a badass fight.
Tuivasa, the Black Beast.
Yep. He's fighting in 2 weeks. No, 3 weeks.
We're getting it.
Yeah, we definitely are.
Yeah, but he's a badass kid, chugging out of the shoe after. You got to love it. So we'll see what he can do. I give this one a 7 out of 10.
I'm giving it an 8.5.
Your turn, Eric.
I gave it a 7. 7.5 out of 10.
All right, fellas. Stephen Wonderboy Thompson and Gilbert Burns. The co-main event, a welterweight fight. This could mean a lot. I thought this was kind of a boring fight.
It was.
There was a lot of stalling.
Yeah, it was.
Even Dana said it wasn't a good fight. But Gilbert Burns got the win. He called out Masvidal. I'd like to see that in the future. Gilbert Burns has actually beaten Tyron Woodley before.
Really?
Yeah, so he is a contender, and he does have a future in the welterweight division. I mean, he's been around for a while, Eddie. But I thought it was a boring fight, and I like Wonder Boy, but it wasn't the most exciting fight. I thought there was some good strikes delivered throughout, but I'd give this one like a 5 out of 10.
I'd probably give it like, probably a 5.
I'm giving it a 5. I mean, Gilbert controlled the fight from the start. He got him to the ground, and Wonderboy couldn't get his stand up going. So Gilbert had control most of the fight.
Exactly.
And I think Wonderboy's past his prime too. And I love Wonderboy, so I just think he might be a little past his prime.
Yeah, it's probably a bit for him. All right, fellas, the main event.
Oh, boy.
Why we all bought the card, why we all wanted to see this, my boy Conor McGregor, the Mac, against Dustin Poirier, the Diamond. This was a crazy fight. There's a lot going into this. This was the trilogy. McGregor won the first one years ago. Poirier won the second one last year on Fight Island in Dubai. And McGregor was talking heavy shit during this.
Right.
He never really stopped talking shit, actually.
I don't think he's talked shit, stopped talking shit since he learned how to start talking.
What did you think of this fight, Eric?
I enjoyed it. It was very entertaining. Conor controlled, probably got some shots in. I think he was looking for a quick knockout. And then Dustin took over, and I think Dustin was going to finish him, and then he got injured. So
yeah,
or he could have got saved by the bell. So
he got the. Who's to say that Dustin would have? Dustin won the round. Dustin won the round. McGregor could have very well come back.
He could have.
I mean, we'll never know.
I'll say that.
More than likely, there's going to be a fourth fight between the two.
Yeah, Dana already said so.
Because Conor's like, this isn't over.
It is after the fight. Yeah, why it was in my DMs?
All right. So I don't agree with with bringing your family or bringing a guy's family into it.
Yeah.
However, I thought it was funny at the time, but like,
he's a funny little bastard.
He is, and he likes to take it personal. But all Dustin had to do is be like, and whose ankle's broken, motherfucker?
Yeah.
I
think Ronda Rousey said it best. She was like, I've never seen someone break their ankle and then start promoting the next fight as soon as they lose.
Yeah. Like, McGregor, here's the thing. Like, if you don't want McGregor to talk trash, you broke the wrong part of his body. I mean, if Poirier didn't break it, it broke because Conor stepped the wrong way. But if you didn't want him to talk trash, you should have broken his fucking jaw.
Yeah. And these guys did not.
Mayo.
Right. Yeah, they don't like each other. And it's a perfect dynamic because here's the thing. They don't like each other, which is one of the main reasons. I think the first main reason why people wanted to buy this card, why people wanted to buy the fight, is because of Conor McGregor.
Yeah.
And he is a huge draw.
Yeah.
Most dicks are. So, like, people are going to want to see that. And then, of course, you have this rivalry because they do not like each other. Because Conor does not believe in respect. He doesn't know the meaning of the word respect.
He might not even be able to spell it. Who knows? But he just does not believe. He believes in trash talk, and he believes in promoting the fight and being the biggest dickhead he can fucking be. And guess what? It's working for him.
It's always worked. I mean, it's hard now because we are witnessing, and it's crazy now that I've gotten to UFC, see guys' careers.
He is going down now. Like, he's not the legend that he once was. He used to be a bad motherfucker. He used to be a killer. He was probably pound for pound, probably the best lightweight. But now that time has passed, he had the fight with Mayweather. He's slowing down a bit. And the diamond, Dustin Poirier, is just picking up speed now. Like, Dustin's ready for a title shot. I want Dustin and Oliveira soon. But that's
why Dustin would win that.
That's why I kind of wish this was a little more final, because I don't need to see these two again. I want to see Poirier kind of fight for the title now and move on. But
what if he gets the match with Olivier first and then, like,
well, then it's
Conor gets the winner?
But then it's hard because what did Conor do to deserve a title fight?
It's Conor McGregor.
Exactly.
Yeah, but that's a hard thing about UFC because you got to cater to the fans with popularity, but it's also a legitimate sport.
Right, and that's the thing, too. Like, because I keep trying to think, okay, you know, WWE would, it's Conor McGregor, so, you know, obviously he's going to get the shot because they do the same thing with Brock Lesnar. It's like, okay, Brock Lesnar is going to get, you know, what did Brock Lesnar do to deserve it? He's gone. He shows up on TV 7 times a year.
Yeah.
Well, he's Brock Lesnar. He's a big draw. Conor McGregor's a big draw, but also if you're going to take it into consideration that this is legit, which it is.
Yeah.
There's nothing fake about it. The only fake thing about this is the cage girl's titties.
And you...
Hey, don't...
And you have a actual...
I'm not knocking that, though, by the way.
And you have the actual top 10 in the rankings for each... I know AEW's got rankings now, but that's all...
AEW is fake as shit, dude.
So, but this is, like, a legitimate sport. So that's why, like, McGregor will still get these main events because he's a draw and he's Conor McGregor. But I don't know if he deserves a title shot yet.
Yeah.
He's got to kick some ass for
him. I mean, look at, like, Bellator or whatever, too. Every time Shamrock says, hey, I'm ready for a fight, he's the main event.
Yeah.
I mean, he's going to fight till he's 89 years old.
Yeah.
He's going to be fucking in there with, like, Tito and Keith are going to be in there with their walkers. But because they are huge draws, you know, they're still going to be called upon.
Yeah.
To main event a card. They might not be in the title picture because that's one thing Dana White will not do. Because Dana White wants to be taken seriously.
Yeah, Dana White, he does care about money and he is a businessman and he does want the big draws, but he is obsessed with keeping UFC legitimate and making sure people see MMA as a legitimate sport. He's obsessed with that.
Yeah. And the funny thing is, I don't like Dana White at all. I think he's a butt fucking bastard. But I like watching some of these UFC things and even watching like the older fights.
Yeah.
I do kind of have like a healthy respect for UFC now.
Yes.
To where like I can see why he feels how he feels.
Well, yeah, because it would piss you off if you were, like, the head of something that's very real and very legitimate, and people come up to you sometimes like, oh, so it's like that WWF shit, right? That would infuriate me.
Yeah. Oh, no, I'm sure. And, again, I don't think Dana White's a good person because I don't think bald-headed people are good people.
I hate them.
I do think there's a few out there that are good people.
I mean, I like Dana, but I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
The only thing, and I really don't know enough to really talk about it, so I won't, but the fighter pay is probably my only critique of Dana White. Because that company does make a lot of money, and some of these guys make like fucking $100,000 a year. That's not that much for like an athlete. Like football, like a third string quarterback will still bring $1 million. And be on the practice squad.
Okay, so
these guys are fucking going in there and killing themselves, and some of them don't. Like, the McGregors make $20 million, and, like, I'm sure Ty Tuivasa will make, like, a healthy like $100,000 off the fight, he might make, you know, $300,000 this year. But
$100,000. Here's the thing. You know, you brought up the sports pay or whatever, right? So Frank Gore, when he played for the Bills, the 1 year he played for the Bills, he signed a contract to make $2.3 million that year.
Yeah.
Okay. Which, by the way, is NFL's minimum wage. All right, and he didn't
wow.
do shit. All right, because Devin Singletary was the Bills' main running back. I mean, he had a couple carries here and there, but that just sucks that, like, you know, but that kind of, again, adds on to your point that football players who don't do shit are making more money
for guys that step in there and then have to, like, I mean, they get health insurance, so that's good.
Yeah.
Like WWE. But these guys beat the shit out of themselves. They should get paid.
Right. And that's like, and I'm sure Dana will realize that, like, eventually.
Yeah. From what I've heard, they've made a lot of steps, and people get paid a lot more than they used to. But you know how it is.
Yeah.
Now, you still have your McGregor rant to get into, Eric? I know you said you were going to talk some shit today. Because we're about to close out soon, so I think we're going to end on you.
Didn't you want to talk about the movie?
I'll talk about it lightly.
Okay.
Next week we'll do it.
Oh, okay.
Well, Doug kind of took everything I was going to say, too. About,
You can get into
but
it.
No. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I didn't bitch about it. You said you had some strong
criticism. I know. I mean, I give Khan the credit. He did change the sport for this era, because this era is totally different from the 2000s. Totally different. But he's a good promoter. He does sell fights. He can be a dick. And I just didn't like the way he talked about Dustin's wife after. Afterwards, that's just crossing the line to me. I know it's Connor, and Connor being Connor, but there's a fine line. I mean, just shut your mouth and get recover and come back and then talk trash. But when you talk trash, don't bring family into it, ever.
It's understandable.
That is actually a fair point.
It is.
I mean, guys talk about wanting to fuck other guys' wives all the time.
I mean, and now it's like a huge meme, and it's like going everywhere. Your wife is in me DMs. You're like, it's a big fucking thing.
Yeah.
That post-fight interview, to me, was more exciting than the fight. So I thought he was telling him to fuck him and all that stuff. I thought McGregor, yes, he's a dick. Yes. I agree with Eric to an extent, because I believe to respect, just like we could even bring it back to Big Brother. You can be as much of a dick as you want. Once you get evicted, you stay humble, you stay classy, and you appreciate the game. And that's how I look at any Big Brother player. Just like any fighter, you talk as much shit, you sell the fight, you be the cocky dick, but once the fight's over, once you lost, you shake the other man's hand. Say he was the better man and you move on. So I agree with Eric.
I mean, and talking about sports too, Tom Brady does the same thing every time he loses.
Yeah. I don't like sore losers either, but he's just so damn funny that it's hard not to look past it a little bit.
I look at it as, and here's the thing. I looked at it as, I know people who have actually talked about wanting to hook up with other guys' girlfriends or wives or whatever.
Yeah.
And, like, sometimes I don't say anything, but sometimes I do.
Yeah.
So, like, I couldn't really judge this situation, because it's just like, you know what? If I get mad at Connor, then I have to get mad at everybody else, and I just don't have the time to really just lecture everybody and be like, you know, you really shouldn't say that. Because even I've talked about, you know, wanting to hook up with girls that have boyfriends. Or women that have husbands or whatever the fuck. Because every guy does it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not into that. I don't respect that type of behavior.
to me, that's not.
I mean, I would never do it.
Yeah, neither.
Because I'm too much of a pussy.
Any good hockey player can get through a goalie.
Right.
We'll end on that. But Dustin Poirier,
unless you play for the Sabres,
Dustin Poirier was very humble in his finals, like his interview.
Yeah,
he was very humble, and he was like, he is legit. And I like how at the end he's like, "If anybody booing can kiss my whole asshole."
Yeah.
He walked away.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'll say this too. Oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
No, you go.
Now, I was going to compare this to John Jones and DC, which is probably close to that rivalry. Even DC and DC respects John Jones after he lost.
Yeah, I mean, they hate each other, but I don't think it's as bad.
They hate each other. No.
Yeah.
Even Ken Shamrock and Tito Ortiz, one of the biggest rivalries in UFC, they hate each other. But they have respect for each other.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
And Jake Paul did send Poirier that Sleepy McGregor chain.
Yeah.
And Poirier is actually auctioning it off for his charity, The Good Fight. And he's going to give the money to charity, which I find cool.
Yeah.
But overall, I think this fight, I'd give it a 7 for all the build-up and all the fun stuff around it. Even though it only lasted a round, it was a hell of a round, very impactful. What are you rating it, Doug?
I'm going to rate it a 7.
I give it a 7, too. And I just say it's a little bit of karma for Conor too. Even Dustin brought that up.
Well, yeah, because he said, "I'm going to make you leave on a stretcher."
And
Conor left on a stretcher.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know. If that's not karma, then I don't know what is. But overall, this whole card was very well put together. I think the undercard was better than the last two fights.
Yeah.
But I did enjoy the card for what it was, and I give it a 7 out of 10. I stayed up till 1, so.
Yeah, after being up, since 5?
Yes. So it was good shit. What do you think, Doug?
I'm going to give the whole card an 8.
Okay. I give it an 8. I enjoyed it.
I liked it a lot.
Even though I don't big fan of Conor, I enjoy his fights. I'll say that. I'm not a Conor fan. I'll say that right now, but he does drag me in and does trigger me to a point where I should bitch. So I'll admit that.
All right. Well, this was very fun, guys. Make sure to check out the fight night tonight. We got Makachev versus Moises. Not great at pronouncing this shit, but it's okay. And Return of Misha Tate. This is a great episode of Unlimited. I'm enjoying the new format for the show. And we will see everybody next week.
All right. Awesome.
I won't be on next week, though.
Oh, yeah, so you're going to be at a Phillies game.
Well, you have a wonderful vacation, you sexy bitch.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Talk to you later.
All right, talk to you later.
It's like, I don't care about nothing, man. Roll another blunt. Yeah. Oh, la 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 la. Yeah. I was gonna clean my room until I got high. I was gonna get up and find the broom, but then I got high.